Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and today I'm speaking with David Meerman Scott, publisher of the blog WebIncNow.com, and a three-time author whose latest book is called New Rules of Marketing and PR, published by Wiley. Now, David has also just launched a new one-day course based on the book, which will be offered by Pragmatic Marketing. So welcome to the podcast, David.
Thanks a lot, Paul. It's great to be here.
So David's book covers a lot of ground for marketers who are new to social media tools, and it has a lot of ideas in it for folks who are maybe more advanced in social media. So I think it has a very nice mix. I found myself personally intrigued with the uses of PR in the mix and wanted to drill into that some more directly, and that's the reason for this podcast. So, David, talk to me a little bit about your views on new rules of news releases and how to use them.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, Paul, but if I could just back up for 2 seconds and just ground the listeners a little bit in this idea of new that comes around this title. The old rules of marketing for technology businesses are that you either had to buy your way in with expensive advertising. That usually takes the form of trade shows or magazine advertising or buying email lists, that kind of thing. Or you have to beg your way in to people's attention through the media and analysts, and that usually involves media relations, trying to convince the media or Gartner or Forrester or someone to write about you. The whole idea around the new rules is that you can use the internet, any technology company or anyone actually can use the internet to reach buyers directly online. And what's so cool about that is you can use content-rich websites, podcasts like we're doing right now, e-books, blogs, all sorts of things to reach people. So one of the things that's so compelling to me, particularly for complex products, business-to-business products, typical sort of technology environment kind of products, is the idea that you can use online news releases to reach buyers directly. And the way that works is pretty simple, is if you do a news release, I mean, you know, think back to the old days, a news release was just something to reach the press. Now a news release is a way to reach buyers, because if you push a press release out through one of the press release distribution services online, like PR Newswire or PR Web or Business Wire, Market Wire, and Prime Newswire are the big five, it will go to Google News and Yahoo News and vertical market sites at like Forbes and Business Week, and also hit people's RSS readers and hit their Google alerts. So imagine if one of your buyers was looking for a technology or an answer to their problem, and they go to Google News and they type in a phrase, and that phrase is contained in your news release. All of a sudden, they're reading your information directly, and then on your press release, on your news release, and then you can have a link in there that goes back to your own site, so you're driving people directly into the sales process. It's a really cool way that that technology companies and all companies can reach people directly, as opposed to going through the media filter all the time, or as opposed to buying expensive advertising all the time.
Right. So, you know, classically trained, let's say, PR professionals would normally try to keep the press channel or the press release channel solely for, let's say, corporate shareholder type of information. So I understand where you're going with the news release. You know, how does that sort of factor in? I mean, the example that you gave with WebEx, you know, their team was doing news releases 80% of the time, and earnings investor releases 20% of the time. Seemed a little extreme to me. Did you think so?
No, not at all. That's the way things are going. The successful companies are the ones that understand that the web creates new rules for all of us. I am what you would call a classically trained PR person. I was the vice president of corporate marketing for two different NASDAQ-traded publicly traded integrated technology companies in the 1990s. So I've had experience doing this myself, and part of what I learned using that experience is what I've leveraged to develop the ideas that I've been talking about since I've been on my own for the last 5 years. So here's the thing. I'm also a journalist. I'm a contributing editor to two different magazines. I've written over 100 magazine articles, and I write books, as you well know. And I get over 100 press releases or email pitches a week in my inbox, unsolicited. Guess what? That's spam. I also get occasionally a well-crafted, interesting pitch from a public relations person who's read my blog or who's read one of the magazine articles I've written or who's read my book, and they totally understand the things that I'm interested in and I'm likely to write about, and they've created a personal pitch just for me that allows me to understand what they're up to, and then I might be compelled to write something about them in one of the magazines or on my blog or whatever. So what's happened is that the practice of public relations has got to change as a result of the internet. The first change is what we just spoke about earlier, which is that this old tool of the press release is a way to reach buyers directly. The second thing that people need to get a hold on in terms of what's changing is that the members of the media no longer just sit at their desk waiting for press releases to come to them to learn what to write about. They're all out there searching Google and Yahoo and everything else. And unless your organization is visible on the search engines, and unless you're providing compelling content, reporters and editors, number one, won't find you, and number two, if they do happen to find you, if you're not doing creating great content, they're not going to be able to learn about what you're doing in a way that will compel them to write something. Plain and simple truth is that reporters are no longer passively waiting for companies to tell them what to write about. They are out there using the tools of the web, just like your buyers, to learn about the things that they might be interested in writing about. As well, they react to personalized email or telephone correspondence with members of the public relations community, either at companies or agencies, who have taken the time to understand what that particular reporter actually does. And I'm going to go down a path here that I want people to really pay attention to, and that is most public relations in technology companies is simply spam. It's a little bit radical, I know, but it's true. What companies are doing is they're sending unsolicited press releases and unsolicited PR pitches to dozens or even hundreds of the members of the media at once without regard to who they are, in the hopes that one or two or three of them might pick up the story and write it. That's spam. It's no different than somebody trying to get you to buy Viagra by spamming you with a message about Viagra.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, you know, one of the other techniques that you mentioned was tagging news releases by adding tags to Technorati, Dig, Delicious, you know, to give readers the ability to find them in other ways.
Right.
You know, is it just a simple tag that you're adding, or is this, you know, a system of choice? I mean, how are you doing that?
Well, you know, it's all focused around the whole idea of the new rules and the whole idea of marketing through social media channels and creating online content is focusing on your buyers, the people that you're trying to reach, you're ultimately trying to reach. And what that means is that you have to really understand what problems your buyers have that your company can solve, perhaps by some technology or some sort of solution that you offer. And once you understand who your buyers are and what the problems are that they have that your technology can solve, then you create compelling information that's designed especially for them, and you provide that information in a way that makes it easy for them to find. And I contrast that with what the vast majority of technology companies do, which is that they talk about their products, their stupid little products, and they write about their flexible, scalable solutions for improving business process using cutting-edge technology, which means absolutely nothing to buyers because most technology companies are creating marketing and PR from their own egotistical perspective. So I know I'm getting around to your question around tags. Many people today search either through Google or the blog search engines like Technorati or on social news networking sites like Delicious and Dig. They search based on tags. They search based on keywords and phrases. They search based on ongoing RSS feeds going into their own inbox. And they browse as well. They browse a regular set of content that they've decided is important to them. So in order to reach those buyers, the people who are looking for answers to their problems that your technology might be able to solve, you have to be able to put your content in the places that they are. And one of those places is that they're searching based on the tags of content that are important to them. So all that simply means, I mean, tagging sounds like, you know, some you know, esoteric technology. All it really means is that you put a little, almost like a little announcement in a particular piece of content that says it's about a certain thing. And then that makes it easy for search engines and RSS feeds and other things to know what that piece of content is about. So if you're in the CRM business and you sell a customer relationship management software, one of your tags might simply be CRM. And that just makes it easier for the search engines and easier for your buyers to find that content.
And, you know, in listening to you, I was thinking, you know, as more and more of this information comes to the web and social media expands more, you know, keywords become extremely important in that because it's the only way to extract out a homogenous group of content around an individual topic like CRM or like outsourcing or something like that,
right?
I mean, it places the importance on that so much more, and I think it's a really great point. Okay.
It does, and it also means that you have to be the places that people are looking. And that's the thing that where people tend to fall down is, you know, a website's no longer enough. You have to be in the other places that people are looking.
Agreed. So talk about your ideas. I mean, we've done is we've taken, you know, we've gone from news releases to, you know, maybe the proper mix of that and understanding the difference between press releases and news releases and tagging them. Now, how do you embrace bloggers as part of this mix? And treating bloggers as journalists, too. Maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that I suggest that people do is get to know who are the bloggers that are writing about your space. And by your space, I mean perhaps they write about your company or your company's products, or more likely they write about your industry or the market that you sell into, like outsourcing, to use your example earlier. Or also perhaps they're blogging about something that's very interesting to the people you're trying to reach, your buyers. So using my example earlier of a customer relationship management software, there's bloggers out there, for example, who are blogging about sales. You know, there's like, for example, a guy called Brian Carroll does the...
I know Brian very well.
You know, Brian, yeah. So Brian has a blog that's about business-to-business sales, lead generation for the complex sale. And so if you're in the CRM business and you're selling a solution for salespeople, you need to know who the bloggers are who are talking to salespeople through their blogs. And that means I always recommend that people have a sort of a three-step process for getting into the whole idea of blogger relations and understanding blogs. The first step is just to understand which blogs out there are in your market, and that requires that you go to a couple of different blog search engines and just, you know, literally spend a couple of hours poking around based on keywords and tags and other things. A couple of the blog search engines that are worth looking at. One would be Technorati, T-E-C-H-N-O-R-A-T-I. Another one I really like is called Ice Rocket, And then another, you can go also to Google blog search. You go to the main part of Google, and then above the search bar, you click the more button, and then you'll see blog search on there. Get a sense of what are the 20 or 30 most important blogs for your market or your company or your products. Follow them for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and then begin commenting on the blogs. In other words, you're using that blogger's real estate to get some of your ideas out there. And you don't talk about your own products, you don't talk about your own company, but you just, you know, begin being a part of the community by leaving comments on somebody else's blog. And then the third step that some people might want to do, but by no means everyone is right for this, is to create your own blog to get your own ideas into the marketplace. Now, I always recommend doing this process because if you've already made yourself known to a blogger by commenting on their blog and you've followed it, that will give you a much better leverage point if you ever want to proactively reach out to that blogger. You know, for example, say, again, we're the CRM example, you're in the CRM business, you've been following Brian Carroll's blog or somebody like Brian, and you comment a couple of times on some of his or her posts that are interesting to you, and then you have a new version of your software or you have a new client that you just signed that's really using the software in an interesting way, you have a better opening to reach out to the blogger by saying, hey, I really like your blog. I've commented a few times. By the way, my company does XYZ. I thought you might be interested in knowing that we're doing ABC. If you're interested, let me know. No obligation to get back to me. You know, just a real personalized kind of simple email like that. Now, if you've already commented, the blogger knows who you are. You're a member of their community, a valued member of their community, and they're a heck of a lot more likely to respond to that than, you know, some random pitch out of the blue that essentially is like a piece of spam.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think a phased process for, you know, getting to know some of these bloggers and their audience is definitely the way to go. Any other words of wisdom for technology marketers, you know, when it comes to working more effectively maybe with their PR teams?
With the PR teams? One of the things I've been talking about a lot is as much as you can bring things in-house, you know, there are some good agencies out there, but it's harder to work through an agency, I believe, than it is to bring the communications and marketing and PR functions in-house. And I have a very specific suggestion for some of the larger companies out there. It's a little bit radical, I know, but it's something that absolutely works because I know some companies that have done it, including IBM. And that is, instead of hiring a PR agency, consider literally hiring a journalist. Find a journalist who, you know, maybe you can find them because they work at, or either currently work or formerly worked at one of the trade publications that your market reads, or perhaps they work at one of the analyst firms that covers your industry. And those people, journalists, make really, really great communicators in the way that I'm talking about through social media because they're already journalists. They already know how to write. They already know how to tell a story. They already know how to understand who their readers are, in this case, who their buyers are, who the market is, much better than PR agencies, in my view. Again, there are some really good PR agencies, but the vast majority of them, in my opinion, based on experience of having received 100 email pitches or press releases a week from them, most PR agencies are just spammers.
That's some great advice. Well, David, thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
And please visit David's blog called webincnow.com, as well as check out his new book on Amazon called The New Rules of Marketing and PR, as well as check out his course with Pragmatic Marketing. And thank you all for listening.